Do you want bonus audio?
I think what we've done all day, by the way, guys, is yes and, yes and, yes and now we're just, why?
A cow's life begins, like many of us, as an egg. Squeezed out seemingly at random by the gentle grazer, the cow seems unbothered by its brown offspring.
I had the murder wall. I was trying to figure it out on my kitchen wall with names, post-its, string, and the lot.
Is that brother Pratt?
I don't know how to do things with my mind.
You've got to find a way to do this. I know it's inside you. You're a silver bow.
Come give it to me, buddy boy.
Okay.
And as he approaches me, I'd like to twist his nipples.
I can tell you for definite exactly where the inspiration for Nancy came from.
Go on.
Kethel just swallow it all.
Like a good boy. And
if he does get sliced by the glass, he'll just try and
start it out.
Like, yeah.
Well, join the Royal Britannia Patreon. Available now.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Hello and welcome back to Royal Britannia Parlay. I'm Tom and I, of course, play Keth Rostein in Royal Britannia. As you know, in this series, we step away from our usual adventures and instead we talk to other podcasters, celebrities and members of the TTRPG community. Each episode, we have a special guest. You could be a lifelong player, a fellow podcaster, a movie maker or someone who has helped to shape Dungeons & Dragons into the game that we love today. In this episode, we managed to talk to the organisers of something that we hold very close to our hearts. Not only are they the largest tabletop gaming convention in the UK, they also gave us our big break with our first ever live show. They are, of course, Millie and James from the UK Games Expo. So, joining me now from Royal Britannia is James, Alex, Chip and Paul. Gents.
Hello.
Not bad. Do you do that thing where we all talk at once?
Yeah. Just talking.
I do enjoy it.
So introductions. This is my introduction to me being here today.
Did you get that key job?
I'm stuck there.
Never.
I'm sure the editing team will make light work of that.
Sophie's looking at me through the door. She's like, it's okay. He's got the cucumber out.
No, I haven't. That's the problem.
Yeah,
or benefit? I don't know.
Yeah.
No, I put the cucumber there, and then I found myself in a pickle.
Ah,
you're only making harder work for yourselves.
What's happening, Tom?
So James actually took the reins on this one, as he loves the UKGE, and also talking to other people called James. True. Did you enjoy your chat, James?
I loved my chat. It was mostly with Millie. She's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And then James joined us a little bit later on, and he's fascinating as well. I mean, the UKG is awesome, not just because they gave us our first ever proper like live expo experience, because, oh, that was cool, and you know, we're back again this year. Mm-hmm. Nice. But also because they're genuinely really cool people.
They are.
Yeah. And passionate.
I love it.
And I think that was my biggest takeaway, is that, you know, when we met Millie... at the UK Games Expo
What are you doing?
Freeform
talking.
You know
the format of this show.
Yeah, we chat. And we talk about what we liked about the episode.
Do that
later,
again.
We haven't even pressed play yet.
Which I've already heard it.
Wonderful cue. for us to press play and listen to James gleaning knowledge from two of the wonderful people at UKGE. Play.
So everyone, thank you very much for joining this very special episode of Roll Britannia Parlay, where we talk to all sorts of people from the gaming community. And this week I'm talking to someone very special. We're talking to Millie from the UK Games Expo, a show we're going to be at in the summer this year. So Millie, how are you?
I'm well. I'm welcome. Thank you. I'm stumbling over words already. This is going to go well, isn't it? No, I'm quite surprised to be called special. That's very nice. Thank you. Thank you, folks.
Well, it's a delight to have you here. And, you know, we'd like to sort of get to grips a little bit with a little bit more about what UKG is, how you got involved with it, and, you know, a little bit about what's next kind of thing. So I guess, I mean, a really sensible place to start is, you know, tell us a little bit about you and how you came to be a part of the UK's biggest tabletop gaming convention.
Well, yeah, okay. That's like the origin story. This is in the back of the character sheet that nobody reads, eh? All right, so I got involved with... So I've always loved RPGs, right? I've always played games like that, and that's where my kind of biggest love sort of came from. I love telling the story about my first ever AD&D character, no idea about what we were doing. And my mates were just like, all right, roll these 3d6. And you know how it goes, like strength, dex, con, down the lines?
Cool.
We were doing that. My first one in AD&D, I rolled 3 sixes.
Oh, nice.
So I started off the bat with a strength 18 character. And that was way back when then you had to roll a percentile dice. And I rolled 3 zeros. So I had an 1800 strength character.
Nice.
And that was so I was like hooked from that moment. We ended up making a soul. She was a fighter, and we called her Red because I've got folks who might see me. I've got ginger hair, so I had no inspiration on names like everybody. And then from then out, I was like kind of hooked. We went on an adventure. We did all kinds of stuff. We played WFRP and you know all that kind of things. And then real life got in the way for a while, and I got more into board games because, in general, board games are very easy to pick up and put down.
Yeah.
Like I don't have to. There's very rarely a backstory with a board game. You're just sort of working out how it goes. And then I was looking around because just at like events and things to go to, because I really enjoy events with folks. We ran some local tabletop gaming groups and local, you know, mini conventions. I was kind of looking at like what else there was, and this is about 10 years ago, I found the UK Games Expo. And that was the year it was just before it moved over into the Hilton. So the year, the NEC, sorry, just before then. And I was broke, but I still wanted to go. And what they have, what we have is a volunteers who help make part of the show happen.
Sure.
If you volunteer a certain amount and you get a hotel room and some food and stuff. And that was how I could go. And it was also a bonus because I was going by myself. And I was a bit concerned, like, what if nobody plays with me kind of thing? So I ended up going as a volunteer. And it was phenomenal because the other volunteers were great. I found folks who would quite happily play games. I joined in some RPG sessions, and then I did other jobs. I didn't at any point feel like I was doing too much, and I didn't at any point feel like I had nothing to do. So I did that. I loved it. I went back again. I used to work for a community radio station, which meant I know how to plug speakers in and organize guests and that kind of stuff. And I got involved with the seminars. And from there, I came again, and then I became the seminars manager. And there is the first year we were in the NEC, a corner of the NEC was this little seminar space, and we had like 300 chairs and Tom Vassell from the Dice Tower talking. And, it was a wild ride. And it's just escalated from there. And this year is my first year as full-time community manager. It's sort of expanded to both seminars and live events like yourselves are doing, and then RPG schedules and tournament schedules. And the whole breadth of all the different communities that come together for the UK Games Expo. And we have, yeah, like I said, tournaments in your favorite minis or card games and mega games where you play like a sort of cross between a LARP and an RPG and yeah, actual RPGs like you folks play. Live stages where we can see folks play RPGs and pay our guests, and then, you know, live entertainments that run from everything from, you know, Tom Crosby, who is this chap who does amazing stuff with Rubik's Cubes, folks like yourself doing actual plays, to the dark room where an Australian will shout at you. it is much funnier than I just made it sound, I promise. But the dark room is an experience that I think, again, is 10 years long. So there we go. There's the backstory.
Wow. That's pretty cool. Yeah. I mean, I have to say, I was, you know, I met you last year, and when I saw that you'd got the gig being the full time community manager and stuff on, I came up on my LinkedIn. I was like, yes, get in.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I think it's just a commentary on how big the expo is getting. Like each year, like my colleague James, who is the marketing manager, will be cross at me for not having this off the top of my head, but like 30,000 people came last year.
It was an incredible experience. I mean, the scale of the show is just unreal. You know, we're
570 odd exhibitors.
It's incredible.
It's the third largest hobby games festival in the world.
Wow.
And sometimes we sit down and we're like, there's six of us who are work full time for the expo. And at no point have we lost that passion for games. Like, it's not become a day job. Richard, who's one of the directors, a couple of weeks ago had to go because he was running his travel again. Like, I can't stop. I've got to go and run my travel again. And, you know, Tony, who is the other director, was telling us how he was running the Alien RPG. Chariot of the Gods, running it for his son and their friends, and people, you know, dying gratuitously, as does in Aliens. So at no point are we not like as much of a nerd as everybody who turns up.
It's so nice to have you, just, you know, to know that the people that are organizing this show that everyone seems to love and we absolutely adore, because it was just an incredible experience, are actually not just like doing it as a job, but it's your passion, it's your, you know, it's actually your whole life, really. It's not just this show, but it's the community as well.
I mean, yeah, it really is. Like, Richard designs board games. Like, he makes board games with under, like, he has a little, again, you know, his side hustle is making board games. It's amazing games. And we've had afternoons where we're playtesting some of his games and working out how it will be. And he goes, and we go to other events. Like, we were just at a space center at the weekend doing like running Starfinder, showing people RPGs and that kind of stuff. So it is like living the dream, if you will.
To take you back to, you know, you got involved in UK Games Expo by volunteering. Mm-hmm. And I guess a question that I think is going to be important to anyone listening to this who might want to go is, you know, what is the situation with that? You know, you got free room and food. Is that something that UKG still does? And, you know, what would someone be expected to do if they did that?
So there's a couple of ways of volunteering. Like, the way I got started was general volunteering. And it's around about, like, over the weekend, it's about 26 hours of your time. I did a lot of, it sounds dull, but just standing around and making sure folks who were coming into the show were actually had tickets. I was there to be like, no, the toilets are down that way, make a left, that kind of stuff. Setting up for tournaments. Like, I have memories of putting down X-Wing mats after X-Wing mats so the players were ready for the, I think it was like X-Wing Nationals and that kind of stuff. Helping folks queue. Like, I want to see this big show, where do I queue? Well, don't queue there because everybody else is over there, you'll get missed out, kind of thing. Lots of that. And then at the end of the show, helping sort of pack up bits and pieces. It's grown quite a lot. Volunteers now won't be doing as much of the lifting and the moving of things as I did way back when. And that's good. But there's still at its heart, it's like, there's a feeling in volunteers, like you have to be busy all the time on your shifts. And that's not necessarily the case. There are portions where you're not going to be, like, it's not a day job, you're volunteering.
Yeah.
And you're allowed to enjoy the show as much as anybody else. You just need to be on hand to help and that kind of stuff. The other option is UK Games Expo has the largest RPG schedule in the UK. Like some, not quite, but almost 400 games ran last year.
Wow.
At the show. And that needs GMs, folks to run it. GMing an RPG is, you know, isn't exactly just something you pick up on a Tuesday afternoon and run on Saturday. There's a level of, like,
it's mentally taxing, I'll be honest.
Yeah. So for folks who are willing to share that and GM, if you run 5 games over the weekend, you get like a hotel room and, you know, breakfast is included, get some meal vouchers as well. So the same sort of support we'd give to the volunteers who are doing like 26 hours, we also give to our GMs who are going to do 5 games. I think the thing about the GMing is, like, we're not going to tell you you must run 5 games of this. You tell us what games you want to run. So if you wanted to run the same game 5 times, easy, cool. You've prepped once, run it 5 times. That's great. If you wanted to run 2 games on a and just turn up, we'll, you know, help you do that. It's it really is your level of what you're comfortable with to join in.
Yeah, no, it's incredible. No, I think that it's a great opportunity for and the chance to go to the show and also get to play like your favorite game for 5 hours of your life and then still experience the rest of the show is incredible.
Yeah, I think there's the other side of it, because we talked to folks about this a bit, is, you know, when you're running games and you're like, I really want to run Versant this week, and you get your group is like, no, I want to play D&D. You're like, yeah, but I don't know. The Walking Dead looks really great. Let's try that. Nope. I really want to play D&D.
Yeah. And
that kind of stuff. Or I really want to try Starfinder. No, we're playing Pathfinder. Don't want to go to space. You can do that at Expo because there will be people who will be like, I'll play spooky folklore, or I'll go to space. So you get to scratch those itches without also doing the heads in of your local game, your local group.
I think it's absolutely great. And I think it's nice that, you know, it's open to people who, you know, who may want to come and experience this, but, you know, have time, but not necessarily funds to be able to do that.
I mean, it was the biggest sort of linchpin, if you will, for me, because I definitely couldn't have afforded to come along at the time. And because I qualified for the support for the hours I was doing, all I had to do was really get the train down and then make sure I had enough funds for whatever I wanted to spend on the trade floor.
Yeah.
And tea, because the expo gate, my hotel room came with breakfast, and then there was vouchers for a meal. So it was like an amazing, like, ugh, I don't have to, like, what is it? FOMO, fear of miss out.
Yeah.
I didn't have to suffer with that. I could go and do everything. And
I love it. So in terms of the show, then, you've seen, you know, over the last few years, you've seen quite a lot change, I would imagine. You say you started in the hotel, and obviously now it's taking up 3 of the biggest halls at the NEC. I mean, what else has changed for you? How is it different now to when you first went?
I think when I first started, it was just in the Hilton Metropole, which was cute and lovely, but also, like, some of that place is like a rabbit warren, really. I didn't really get to understand the layout. And then the second year I came back, that was when we took over the first hall of the NEC. And that, I think that boggled everybody just that, because Wotan Games drove a bus into the hall, a double-decker bus on the hall floor. And that just, like, I remember folks being like, that's an actual bus in the trade hall. And that was balmy. And then, like, a few years later, we went up into hall two as well. And that again, is just like, how? And the scale just keeps getting bigger and bigger. And now it's like halls one and two. And then all the tournaments are in hall, like, 3A kind of area. And we're looking at, like, 200 folk playing a miniature tournament and, like, 150 folk playing a card game. And you're just like, that's more than, like, folks who turn up to my local game club, game store at the weekend. But they're both there. And it just, like, the scale is boggling at times. But it's still, like, we still have, like, little 30-person events where you can go and do a talk and share, like, how green, sustainable production of board games and that kind of thing. We still hold, like, these chill games design classes where you can go and learn about that, or, you know, events where you can learn about how to write an RPG scenario. Like, not everything has been lost to this huge level of grand double-decker buses in the trade hall. Which I think is it's precious to us.
Like, yeah,
it's still a celebration of all the things that RPGs and board games and everything has to hold.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, what's if I was going to ask you, what I've seen a couple of new, quite exciting looking things on the website, and not least of which because we're performing there, which is very cool. But if what's a new thing this year that for you that people that you want people to know about, or that people really should, that is different that the show's trying out this year?
Different things this year. Good question. Let me just go and look at like some spreadsheets. Well, this is a tough thing, right? Because I know more than I'm allowed to say. I think, let's look. Secrets. There are a bunch of companies, and there are a bunch of folks like yourself and other influencers and act and that kind of stuff who are coming along. Where are we? Like at the end of January, like I don't know how much of podcasting magic we're going to break there by saying that. And coming up in the next like February, March, and April is where we typically get to sort of release those things.
Yeah.
So, like, there's some cool things coming to folks who will volunteer to GM. We've really been working on helping new folks GM. And one of the things I found doing a lot of, it sounds very corporate to call it outreach. I went to other conventions and talked to GMs. That's what I did. But in like corporate speak, that's like GM outreach. So the thing that surprised me was there are folks out there who are wonderful GMs, very confident and capable GMs. But they were asking me, like, how do they prove they're a GM in order to run games at Expo? Which to me was a bit like, no, folks, like, I've got faith in your GM skills. If you believe in you, I've got faith. And that goes to, like, anybody who runs a game at home. Like, I mean that for you as well. But it just kind of highlighted a little bit how we need to help those folks realize that they're allowed to do it. Mm. And so we're putting together like an RPG library. So if you volunteer for Expo, there'll be some scenarios that are really like designed for you to run at a convention easily, completely free of charge. Whether you run it or not, it's up to you. And then you can take them to your game store and run them at clubs, or just run them on your Sunday night game whenever you play. Go to other conventions and run them there and that kind of stuff. And some of the folks I've been talking to and some of the things that they're thinking about releasing is like, oh, that's exciting. But I've fallen foul before of saying like, oh, this is going to happen. And then NDAs or bigger companies or, you know, links with other IPs have went, actually, no. Or, you know, timeline wise, it's just not managed it because, you know, deadlines. Yeah.
I won't put you in a difficult position. I say one of the biggest things that we met some amazing game designers last year. They, you know, we actually got a chance to play test one from a company called Renegade, who did Beyond the Veil, and they gave us a module with some of our characters and some things from our show as well, which was incredible. And we played that for our sort of Halloween special because it's all a bit spooky and stuff. And some of the things we're going to make it into the game proper as well. So we were just, it was great to help and work, be sort of involved in that kind of development of a game.
I think that, like, I know Rob Britannia are like officially cool people. And, you know, like there's that kind of stuff. And people listening will be like, oh, that's only a thing that you can do, Rob Britannia can do. But there are events like we're planning some what we call epic RPG events. Where lots of people will get together and play and help and collaborate to run through this scenario. And some of the folks we're working with are like, this will change the narrative of the game. So when we bring out like further sort of source books for our game, what happens at this event, what happens with these parties will have changed the narrative. Like, so if we fail, no pressure, folks. If you fail in one of the epics, you might have doomed a nation in whatever these RPG sessions are. There are other people who are like, yeah, we're going to have, we could name somebody in the next book after the person who does this.
Yeah.
And it's like, so yourselves having like, you know, that kind of stuff. And I think it's a thing that everybody can kind of get involved in. I think there was somebody a few years ago who was running demos on their, running intro games on their stand. And depending on how people acted, that would collectively inform the narrative for their game going forwards. Like, literally you can be part of creating these games as well as like yourselves who then go on to test and do that kind of stuff. So it is a very big kind of community and those sort of stuff. I guess I take it a bit for granted. Like these things just happen to me, and then you're saying this, I'm like, oh yeah, you could do that.
It was really, really cool to be involved in that. I'm going to bring in James now, who you know, but our listeners may not. He's clicked admit. Is he turning up? Hello? No? He just popped in and requested to join, but he's disappeared. Oh, there he is.
Oh, there he is.
Hello, yeah.
Hello. Great. How you doing, James? For everyone at home, James is from the UK Games Expo as well, and he was the first person we talked to last year when we sidled in to the UK Games Expo.
Seems like
it was very kind to find us an amazing space in the performance schedule and a great space in the trade hall as well, which is incredible
second spot in that entrance to hall 3 and hall 2. We're just in that corner bit there, so yeah, I thought it was brilliant. The actual live show on the stage went really well, so it was well received. That was brilliant.
It's incredible. Thank you very much for joining us. And we've just talked a little bit about the how the show's changed for Familia over these years. And obviously, I think you've been with the show since a bit earlier on as well. I mean, I guess I'll ask you the same question. You know, how was from when you first were involved in the UK Games Expo? Obviously, you know, it was a much smaller thing in the Hilton over the road, and then you moved on to Hall 1 and Hall 2. I mean, what's the biggest change for you since the show first began and where it is now?
Well, I've only been with the company 2 years, so obviously I've seen it from the post-pandemic kind of re-rise from where it was kind of thing. We managed to you know, in my time here, managed to get to our record levels, surpassing them last year from our 2019 record levels.
Sure.
But yeah, from what I gather from obviously talking to Millie, obviously who's been there since the beginning, almost, and obviously the directors and.
Millie, it sounds like
old now, James.
Millie, you—it sounds like you essentially sort of set the show up now at this point. Is what James?
Yeah,
is,
no, I didn't. I didn't. Like, as cool as that would sound, I do not want the to-do list of Richard or Tony. They are, busy chaps. But no, I've been around for a little bit, but mostly as a volunteer.
But yeah, I mean, like I say, I don't know, remember those days because obviously I wasn't working in them, but you can see the rise of where it's come from, and obviously the power of board games, essentially, and people playing games, and people want to be there, and the reason why it's grown so much is that people demand space, and people wanted more space, then you need to get a bigger venue, and then that's how it's kind of grown from there, and we're still growing. I mean, like I say, we're on course to over 600 exhibitors this year, so we've kind of grown again, so we might have to look at more space again as we go into future events. So yeah,
it's incredible, and it's great. I think it's great that you're both here now, because you can sort of answer my next question from the sort of the marketing side of things and the community side of things all in one go. Is that this year's we're really looking forward to this year. It's going to be an incredible thing. We're so happy that you've that you made space for us again, and we're delighted to be trying to promote you as well, as much as we can, because we're super excited to be involved in the show. But what does the future look like for UK Games Expo? Obviously, we've got this year to come, but are you looking to say, well, let's take on another hall, let's get, we've got 600 exhibitors this year, let's, is it going to be 800 next year? What's the goal?
I think
are we not trying to do like 52 weeks of UK Games Expo? Is that not the goal?
That works for me.
Just every weekend.
I'm in. Help me in. I'm there.
I'm taking the mic there, but James has probably got a more sensible answer.
Just a minute ago, we were on course to hit 600 exhibitors, which per exhibitor obviously is bigger than Gen Con. I know Gen Con has got a lot bigger space than we have, but in terms of the way we are with our exhibitors, they keep growing. We have 3A, all 3A for our ticketing this year, so that's going to be used for that. But who knows? I mean, like I say, as we go forward, when we work out, the demand on the people on the waiting list and stuff like that, then we may grow. So we just need to evaluate everything after the show this year and see where we are. But yeah, things are definitely not decreasing. They're very much on the up. So it's definitely getting bigger and bigger.
Awesome. But, I'm honestly so excited to be involved in it with the support of you folks is just it's we couldn't do it without you, so being able to being included in such an amazing show is unreal. And I asked Millie this at the beginning, so I'll ask you, James, as well. How have you sort of grown up with games, and what brought you to the UK Games Expo as a business, and what's your life around it?
Well, funny enough, I came to work for the Expo from a slightly different angle. I'm not like a board gamer, like I don't play them all the time. I came in to the company knowing Catan, and I've played the Monopolies and the chess and all that kind of stuff. But since I've worked here, because I came in for the experience of working in marketing, working in the NEC in my previous years of employment, so I came in with a different perspective on things. But since I've been working with the Expo, I mean, I've played lots of different varieties of games, from the party games to Ticket to Ride, all these kind of stuff, Terraforming Mars, stuff like that, you name it, we've kind of played it. So it's a case of diversifying my kind of mind around all the different games that are out there, and I've only scratched the surface, really. So I'm kind of very much immersed myself in the family and the community, board gamer community. And yeah, and that's where I've come into it, really. And like I said, I'm still learning, and like we all are about these things. But no, awesome. that's where I'm from. Like I say, it's a case of for me, just being with the company as a novice, but then sort of bringing on my knowledge of all the gaming industry
I can definitely sympathize as coming into gaming as a novice. I mean, you know, obviously when we started our show, it was we'd never played before, so playing D&D from nothing is quite the experience. Especially, I mean, you know, I think you took the luxury of and the smart decision of not recording the first time you ever played a particular game. We didn't necessarily go down the clever route like that. We just went, you know, press record, it'll be fine. So this question's for both of you. I mean, from your time, maybe your years of volunteering and now working full time with the company, and James, obviously, the last couple of years. What's been your highlight of the UK Games Expo so far?
Yeah, let's go first.
Right. Okay. So this is there's a point right on Sunday afternoon where the event schedule kind of dies down a bit. And I'm probably been force fed by one of my friends because I've been running around stressed all weekend. but you sit down there and you get to look at like folks using the hashtags or on Insta and that kind of stuff and scroll through, and you just see like hundreds of folks going, "This was amazing, this was awesome, this was brilliant. Tried it," and it's like, yeah, I helped that happen. That was pretty cool. And there's just that. Like just the general kind of, I don't know. Like, it sounds soppy, doesn't it? Sounds dead soppy. Like when you see all these people and they're all going like, "Oh my gosh, I did this. I didn't realize this." And you know, you've got all these folks telling you about what they've just found. Like that might be the first time they've tried D&D. It might be the first time they've played Catan or that kind of stuff. But now they're like, "I need every edition of Catan. And I need 7 sets of dice for my RPGs." I was like, "Ah, you've got it. You've got it." And they're the highlights for me. Stuff like there are folks who are amazing creators and write RPGs and design board games. And they're so terrified of running a show or being on a stage. They don't realize like how knowledgeable they are, and when they come away from being like on the main stage like yourselves or running a show, and they go, people turned up and listened to me. It's like, yeah, people want to share what you love. Those are all the cool bits to me. Those little bits of cuteness hidden away in all the showy stuff. Those are, yeah, feel good factor there. That's
yeah, and I echo that as well. Mine's the same. I mean, it was a case of it flat out from show set up and then straight into the Thursday for me. It was flat out again, and then get to the press bit in the evening. And Friday again, the same. It's just kind of comes them all an hour because I don't finish till very late. But then when it gets to Saturday and probably the busiest day of the show, and certainly I can have time then to sort of take it all in, take on the size, take on the people, and you know, meet the people that have booked stands with and stuff like that, and just generally get a feel of the excitement, and then just, you know, sit back and kind of appreciate kind of what we've created in these mad 6 months prior. 8 months prior. So yeah, when it all comes together and you see it in operation and things are flowing and everybody's smiling and happy, that's when you get that sense of this is happening, this is great, yeah. So and then that's what it's all about, and that's what we aim to do, is just to bring that bit of happiness and make people enjoy their experience at the UK Games Expo, one to remember.
Incredible. Would there be, is it on the cards of the future, maybe for UK Games Expo in the winter as well?
No. Look, UK Games Expo is like this big celebration of everything in the summer. Yeah, we get together, we get loads of people around. But there are a plethora of other local events that happen. I went to Dungeons and Flagons in Manchester.
Nice.
Which is like a nice weekend event. There is like Aircon who holds events around. There's so many other like little events. This is a shameless plug here. I feel a little bit naughty for saying this. There's so many other events around. We actually have a community map on the website. Because it's not just like turn up and take part in the expo. it gets thrown around like a rising tide floats all boats kind of thing. And there are hundreds of game stores where you can go down and, you know, I was talking about the 100 seat tournament. You qualify for that at your local game store. We were talking about, you know, my gaming group doesn't want to play Versen, so I'll come to Expo and run it. But also, there are loads of gaming groups in your area. You can go and take part in them. And I think Expo is a point in the summer to recharge, to remind yourself that there is more around it than just my D&D game on Sundays. And there are hundreds of GMs who are self-suffering when I've made an NPC. And unfortunately, now everybody loves Bag and Nails. And I just want this NPC to jump off a cliff because they won't let him. There are hundreds of folks who are fed up of the robber being put on their tile in Catan that share this. and coming to Expo or going to other events, and it's not the only thing, but it is the big celebration in the middle of summer when everybody's got our summer holidays and everybody's got time to indulge in a weekend of it.
Yeah. I think that's the community aspect of the UKG is what makes it for me really different to some of the other shows that I've been to. I think that vibe of just everyone's there just to experience it more than just, you know, you go to some trade shows and it's very much, I need to learn this, I need to do that, I need to do it. And people go with a checklist. And I'm sure some people do go that they want to buy this, that and the other. But some people, certainly, you know, a lot of people I've talked to go every year to experience it and to be involved in that community aspect of it and just to meet people and talk to people who love the things they love. And that's what we absolutely loved about it, was just talking to everyone. You know, I went away with and came to work the following, you know, on the Monday with absolutely no voice because I'd spent all weekend talking to anyone and everyone who I could coax into standing still long enough. And I loved it. Absolutely loved just meeting these amazing people that come to the show. So on the subject of people that are coming, I think one of my last questions, I won't keep you too long now, is I guess, what is the, you know, if you were going to talk to someone who'd never been before, what's your pro tip for the UK Games Expo? What is the piece of advice that they should know, or the hack that will help them get the most out of this? Obviously, other than coming to see the Roll Britannia stand and meeting us guys and seeing the shows, what's your pro tip?
Well, the first thing you do if you've never been before is you grab a first timers guys, which is one of the key things we produce, which gives the people or person coming for the first time the ideal kind of guide to help them, you know, start their UKG experience. We have plenty of help desks. We have one in help desk in Hall 1 and one in Hall 2. We're more than happy to point in the right direction, and we have a lot of volunteers, ambassadors there as well to help out with the experience. So you're never kind of left on your own. I mean, you've got like a way to find the things that you need to find, basically. Yeah. 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 Agrees. But yeah, like I say, we created a safe kind of comfortable space for everybody, whether you're new, whether you've been 10, 15 times. It's there just so you can enjoy. So anybody new, you know, first timers guide or the help desk or anybody in a yellow shirt or a blue shirt, it can be grabbed at any time to sort of help, ask for help or any advice.
Brilliant. Yeah. Millie?
No, James is like spot on. Like I would say grab the first timer's guide. If you need help, like that's literally what all the volunteers are there for, to make sure. And just, there is so much going on. Don't try and do everything.
Mm.
Like there is by design so much going on. So when you come back next year, you can try something else. When you come back the year after, there's still more to try. Yeah. Don't wear yourself out trying to get everything. Have a great weekend. Yeah.
Have a good time. There's plenty of open gaming space in Hall 3 for you to just go and have a chill out and grab a coffee. Obviously, you've got the outside space, which, because we're obviously in the summer, generally, touch wood, it's been quite warm. So there's plenty of time to do if you get to overall with the crowds, then you've got space to sort of go and find little nooks and crannies to sort of chill out as well.
Awesome. I mean, honestly, I can't wait to be there. 31st of May is the first day of the show, and we're going to be there all weekend. You know, we'll be there from the Thursday night as well, setting up. I mean, obviously not as long as you two will be there, I'm sure. But I honestly can't wait. It's in my diary. It's the first
leave that I booked from work was that Friday. Out of my year solid, I was like, I'm booking it. It's done.
That one, yeah.
So honestly, we can't wait to be there. So thank you both so much for taking the time to talk to me today about the show. We can't wait to be there. And if you haven't got your tickets yet, make sure you get them. Come and enjoy the show. See everything that's there. You, as I said, you won't get a chance to see everything. So make sure you take a look and find all the things you want to do and come and see us. Come and enjoy the experience and find something new that you love as well, because we did.
Yeah. It's very true. But thanks ever so much for having us on. We really appreciate that and your time, James, as always.
Oh, brilliant. Thank you. And yeah, we look forward to seeing you in the summer.
See you soon.
Thank you. Take care.
Now, I already love the UKGE after the fantastic time we had there last year, but now I just love it even more. Mm. Millie is so much fun.
She's awesome.
Yeah.
So, Chip, why don't you ask Alex what he took away from that interview? Okay, well, you can go first, as you were so keen to talk about things before.
I don't know what you mean. I haven't even seen it yet.
Fascinating.
Oh, right. Were we supposed to watch it?
That's all you get for this episode. I really enjoyed it. It was really nice to kind of hear. Obviously, they, you know, Millie and James are coming at it from slightly different backgrounds, and it's really nice to hear, sort of, as Millie said, you know, the origin story of how they got involved with the UKGE as a volunteer first, and then kind of ended up basically running the show. Or helping run the show.
Yeah.
I love the UK Games Expo, for if we haven't said it yet. It's a really awesome weekend full of board games and TTRPG games, and which is a tautology, I realise, but it's thousands of people coming together because of a shared love of something, and it's really heartwarming to see that kind of outpouring within the community. And it's really nice to know that Millie has come at it from a fan perspective, you know. The passion playing games is consistent throughout all of my experience with the team that runs the UK Games Expo, and so yeah, I can't wait to go back again this year. It's going to be wicked.
I'm very excited.
That passion for games is really like a huge kind of reason that we were there, to be honest. Like, if they didn't have that, I don't think they'd have given us that chance and that opportunity, and thank goodness they did.
I think you were really right during the interview as well to say, like, so much of our weekend was taken up with just experiencing it. And just talking to people, and yeah, it was great. Like, it was amazing to perform and amazing to have our own booth, but to go for an the experience of it alone is astounding.
I met so many cool people that weekend.
You had a lot of...
You met Luke Gygax.
I did, yeah.
We played D&D with him.
Oh, so did you.
Yeah. No, I said
did
we.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Yeah, but he killed me.
He did kill you.
He did.
I tell you, my favourite part of that, and I think it'll always be something that sticks with me forever, is when he sort of got up on the table, sort of stood up from the table, and he started acting like the old wizard man, and I could just picture like his dad doing the same, like when he was younger, I just, it just sort of was like, we're in something really special here, and probably never get to do that again, and that was just probably my highlight for the weekend.
He's our friend now. I think
he wears
that's
our
the
clothes.
Excellent thing about the UKG,
yeah.
The excellent thing about the UKG is that it wasn't just us there as podcasters and you know, TV show people or show people. It was there were loads of fans there as well around that table that had that experience, and UKG is really, really good at bringing loads of different people from the community together, and doing it in a really accessible and really, really fun way.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think it's incredible that a show as big as the UKGE, like, it operates to such an extent that it wants people to be there, even if money's a problem. Then they run a scheme that allows people who are passionate about gaming and, you know, that community to come as well. And not only does they give them free tickets, and that's great, you know, that's an amazing thing to do in itself. But if you go there and you volunteer, then not only will they let you in for free, but they put you up, they feed you, they water you. I mean, I'm you know, for want of a better verb for giving someone drink, I mean, watering is as far as it goes. Because drinking someone feels like a different verb.
Yeah. They don't do that. You don't get that as part of the volunteer
package.
They're
all vampires.
No, you definitely don't get that. But, you know, they feed and water you. They give you a nice hotel room. And I think it's like 20 something hours.
26 hours, I believe, over the whole weekend.
Across 3 days, which go on late into the evening as well. Or I think it's, you can run 5 games.
Well, I did the maths and I worked out 26 hours, obviously, is one of the volunteers. And I realized that if we pimped you out, James, and you did 25-hour-long games, that would be 5 hour lots, and we could get 5 hotel rooms, and then that would cost us nothing to do the travel then. So, you know, I've done the maths, James, and it honestly, okay, it's such a great deal. I can't believe that they haven't already been fully booked for it.
That is a watertight plan. Yeah. I like it.
But obviously, it really funny, other people can do it as well.
Millie was saying that she had potential GMs saying, so how do we prove that we can GM, which is like the fact that you want to,
but
is
I
enough?
Really understood
just
that.
Come on board.
I felt that though. I'm really glad that they're doing this sort of, like she's always said, community outreach kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because for me, I exactly feel what those people are saying, because the idea of going, no one's going to want to listen to me try and run this. Like, I wouldn't know what I'm doing with actual people, surely. We did the April Fool's one where
I like how we're not actual people.
You guys are like my close mates. You're my best friends. So you can definitely deal with. Yeah, James has been AI for years. We've discussed this already. but you guys are my best mates. So I know that I can be weird and wonderful and sort of out of control a little bit with you guys. But the idea of going somewhere and going, hi, I'm Chip, and I'm going to run a game for you. I'm in control of the next 6 hours or next hour of your life kind of thing. It's like, I don't think I'm ready for that. I can't do that, surely. That's not something
I think you could do it. I think
That's exactly the mentality that I think Millie's trying to sort of quash, is that is basically she's being the you guys to the me, the best friend to the individuals out there that go, I don't think I'm capable of doing that. She goes, the fact that you want to do it, the fact that you're game to do it, just give it a go. And here's the space to do it, and the people around you that are going to want to see you succeed and want to have fun.
Sure.
Which and is what
good news, Chip. I've done the maths.
Games.
Is that you can do 5 hour-long episodes, 25-hour-long episodes, and we can all have a hotel room.
It seems foolproof.
Damn it!
Damn it!
It is. It's a watertight plan.
What I really loved about foot. Just on that subject of coming to be a GM at the UK Games Expo. What I really loved is that, obviously, one of the things that was mentioned was that lots of people in their day-to-day or with their gaming groups and stuff are like, oh, I want to run Werewolf, or I want to run this particular kind of game, but everybody wants to play D&D, or I want to run like Spelljammer or whatever it is. But coming to a convention, you can go, I want to run this kind of game, and there will guarantee you there will be people there who want to play that kind of game, and you'll meet loads of new friends and stuff like that. Like, for example, going back to the Luke Gygax thing, some of the people, or actually I think all of them, the people that we played D&D with Luke Gygax, then came to our booth and then spent ages just chatting to us and like hanging out. It was great.
And I met loads of people there that I've been talking to on social media, Discords, for like years, literal years. And it was the first time that I've ever met them in like person. And it was just like, it was great.
It's a big holiday TTRPG camp, and I love it.
I quite like the gaming element, because it's kind of like a
for this year's show.
It's like a TTRPG smorgasbord tapas element, so you don't really have to go and it's like a little tapas of games out there, because you don't have to have built a whole backstory. You can just turn up, play an hour of a game and go, I really like that, now I'm going to go and find a campaign with someone and some like-minded people. Or you go, wasn't for me, I'm going to go try a different one, and then you have a little more amuse-bouche of this one and go, yes, I like this one.
Now I'm hungry.
The Hilton, and you've got like doors off in every single direction. You've got the open gaming hall, and then you've got like a room there doing like a space theme game, another one over there doing something else, and it's just like, Wow, so much to do.
Yeah.
Which is why I think...
Tom, you got absolutely loads of games, didn't you? You picked up a whole handful of them while you were there.
There's loads.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Which I'm still playing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gotta try and still get another armful of them this time.
I played it. I got given Dice Splice when I was there last time, and I ended up playing that with my folks on our game night the other night, and we had an epically fun time. And it's such a simple concept of a game, and would never have picked it up otherwise. But it was because it was there. You got to actually play a little bit of the game, and then they were like, "Well, yeah, you can take it home." And I was like, "Yeah, go on then, let's have it." Yeah, there's so much opportunity to just see things that you.
Yeah.
I quite like games, but so many things that I would never have known about had it not been for the vastness that the UK Games Expo has now grown to.
I have a shopping.
I think the thing to mention as well, and it was discussed in the interview, is like. It can be, or it could seem quite overwhelming because it's a massive, massive convention. Oh, cool. Yeah. So that's why I really appreciated James's suggestion of like, you know, the starter guide and the fact that the stewards, the volunteers are all on hand to go, what do you need help with? You know, what do you want to see? Where do you want to go? This is on offer, that's on offer, and kind of guide you through the process if you've never been before. Because I remember walking in when we were getting set up and seeing like a 20-foot tall space marine.
Yes.
Like, this is a huge event.
Yeah.
I remember on the Saturday when I went to the top of the stairs in Hall 2 and looked down into Hall 1 and I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
It's just a sea.
Keeps going, doesn't it?
Yeah. It really does. It really, really does.
That's definitely like one of the best vantage points just to see the scale because then you realise you've got another two halls behind you.
Definitely get your steps in, don't you?
Yeah.
That was the most steps I did all year last year.
I'm actually not surprised.
All in one day.
Because I only live 5 minutes from work, so I think my whole year's steps just fitted into that weekend.
You did a year's worth of exercise in one weekend. That explains why you were so tired then.
I was shattered by the Monday.
No leather left on the bottom of his shoes.
But it doesn't feel like it, though, does it? I think that's the good thing, is that you might be doing all of that walking, but you're stopping every now and again. There's so many things to look at and do, and I'm going back to the tapas because the flavor changes constantly and in all the different
food.
Things that they've got.
Normally it's me.
I've just had a really nice cheese board, so I've had a bit of tapas. So
I see.
They do have such a good variety there as well, and so you do get difference, but you end up spending walking for ages and ages and ages because you just keep going. Oh, now there's an interesting thing there, and I've seen something else that's interesting down there. And
it reminds me of, you know, the Homer Simpson thing of like, oh, a piece of candy.
Yeah.
Oh, a piece of candy. Yeah. Oh, a piece of candy. It's like, oh, that's interesting.
That's James Woods from Family Guy.
Is it? Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It reminds me of that James Woods from Family Guy thing of like, oh, a piece of candy. Oh, a piece of candy.
Yeah, yeah. I get the reference.
Well, I cannot wait for UKGE this year. I'm really, really excited.
Oh, yeah.
And I know you guys are. Thank you, gents, chaps, and thank you so much to Millie and James for speaking to James all about the upcoming UKGE. Again, very, very excited. And, of course, thank you to you for all of your support. So it's a goodbye from me and a goodbye from those lot.
Bye.
Before we go, I just want to say we are doing 3 shows at the UK Games Expo on the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Friday is an intro to D&D. It's a panel called How Not to Suck at D&D. On the Saturday night, we are doing a live improvised Dungeons & Dragons session that you can get your tickets for now. And on the Sunday, we'll be on the main live stage doing an episode live recording of Roll Britannia. So all of that, if you're a big fan, come check us out and definitely get your tickets to UK Games Expo this year because it's going to be mental.
Okay, award that man some inspiration immediately.
I love a good plug.
Thank you very much for listening to Roll Britannia Parlay.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
Pause.
Look out for the next episode of Parlay, but if you simply can't wait to hear more from the crew of Roll Britannia, then you can find us on all good podcatchers out there. YouTube, Amazon, Podchaser, Spotify, you name it. Where we have new episodes coming out every Wednesday. There are over 200 episodes in the series so far, so there's plenty for you to listen to. Not only that, but you can check out our Patreon, our merch store, and even drop into our very active Discord server. All the links are in the episode description.
Social Podcast Network.
Our kids have said to us since we moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the Star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Do you want bonus audio?
I think what we've done all day, by the way, guys, is yes and, yes and, yes and now we're just, why?
A cow's life begins, like many of us, as an egg. Squeezed out seemingly at random by the gentle grazer, the cow seems unbothered by its brown offspring.
I had the murder wall. I was trying to figure it out on my kitchen wall with names, post-its, string and the lot.
Is that brother Pratt?
I don't know how to do things with my mind.
You've got to find a way to do this. I know it's inside you. You're a silver bow.
Come give it to me, buddy boy.
Okay.
And as he approaches me, I'd like to twist his nipples.
I can tell you for definite exactly where the inspiration for Nancy's came from.
Go on.
Kethel just swallow it all.
Like a good boy.
And if he does get sliced by the glass, he'll just try and
start it out.
Like, yeah.
Well, join the Royal Britannia Patreon. Available now.